You're about to listen to a powerful, refreshing, and life-changing message by God's servant, Pastor Vincent Nwensi. It is our prayer that God would use this message to illuminate your understanding, empower you to do exploits for His glory, and bless you richly in Jesus' name. Here now is God's servant, Pastor Vincent Nwensi.
My message today is titled, Protect Your Faith to Protect Your Life. Protect your faith to protect your life. And I believe there's a very important and significant revelation in this message. And I don't think I'm going to finish it today, but let's see how far we can go. Let's look at Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 to 31. Matthew 14, 28 to 31. Of course, you know what happened there. Jesus asked the disciples to cross over to the other side on the sea where he went to pray. But the Bible says that the wind was contrary, and this was in the night. And the fourth watch, late in the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. And they supposed he was a spirit, and they cried out in fear. Verse 27 said, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, and James chapter 1, verse 6. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And then James chapter 1, verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I want you to understand that as a believer, the greater thing you have in your entire life is your faith. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith in the Word of God. Your faith in God. That's the biggest thing you have. That's the biggest asset in your life. That's the greatest thing you have. And the Bible says this is the victory. For anyone who walks in victory, for anyone that will walk in victory, if you want to trace his victory, it is traceable right to his faith. It is traceable right to her faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And the devil knows it. And therefore, the most important focus of attack the adversary has in the life of a believer is that person's faith. Your faith is the enemy's primary focus of attack, whether you realize it or not. Your faith is his primary focus of attack. The thing that gives him the most concern in your life, it's your faith. It is not your job. It's not your family. It's not your money. It's not your career. It's not your social circle or anything. There's one thing that worries him the most. There's one thing that he targets the most. It is your faith. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Look at that first part of it. Fight the good fight of faith. Well, quite often when we read that, we think, or we conclude that what he's saying to us is that we should use our faith to fight. Well, that is correct. Faith is our weapon. It's one of our weapons of spiritual warfare. But there's something else that he's saying there. He's saying, fight to protect your faith. Fight to protect your faith. And no wonder, by the time you get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, the Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course. Why? Because I have kept the faith. Which is to say that if he didn't keep the faith, he wouldn't have said he fought a good fight, he wouldn't have completed his earthly mission successfully. So, the most important thing to protect in your life is your faith. And in different ways and different subtle or even not so subtle ways, the adversary targets your faith. You need to understand that. The moment faith is out of the way in any situation, in the face of any challenge, the moment faith is out of the way, the individual gets into a free fall into the bottom of defeat. The moment faith is out of the way, the moment faith is no longer active in any situation, that individual is in a free fall into the depths of defeat. Peter walked on the troubled sea in a dark night when everything looked so hopeless. He said to Jesus, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the sea. Jesus said, come. And the man stood up, came out of the boat, and started to walk on the troubled sea. But the moment something went wrong with his faith, he started to sink. He started to sink into what he had been walking on. The same sea, the same troubled waters on which he had been walking, now he was now being buried in the same waters. He was sinking until Jesus reached out and quickly caught him and then told him what the problem was. Oh, thou of little faith, how come you allowed doubt to come into your faith? That doubt infiltrated your faith. That was why you saw yourself sinking into what you were previously walking on. Hallelujah. So it's vital that you understand that your faith is something to protect. Protect your faith, because it is the enemy's primary focus of attack. That is what he wants to weaken. That is what he wants to wear out. That is what he wants to sabotage, your faith. Faith is relevant to every aspect of our lives as believers. In every area of our lives, faith is relevant. However, I want to pick out some specific areas where you need to carefully watch out. Hallelujah. Some specific areas that you need to carefully watch out, because the adversary is interested in those areas. I have not less than 10 here, but I'm not going to finish them today. Let's see how far we can go. The first aspect is that you need to fight to protect your faith in God's personal love and care for you. You need to fight to protect your faith in God's personal love and care for you. Some of these things I'll be saying may sound simplistic until you get into the situation yourself, until you come face to face with challenging realities. Then you realize they are not that simple after all. It's easy to say, God loves me, God loves us. But one area the adversary would like to attack you is to weaken your faith in the fact that God loves you personally and that he cares for you personally. Because when you come under the clouds of satanic attack, that truth can very quickly diminish. That God loves you personally and that he cares for you personally. That personal love of God for you, you need to fight to protect your faith in that. Protect your faith in God's personal love and care for you. That is to say that it doesn't matter what you are going through, you are still able to look at yourself and say, I am somebody that God loves. I am somebody for whom God cares. There is somebody bigger than the situation that loves me and that cares for me. And to say that from the bottom of your heart and know that you mean it. Because quite often when the enemy attacks you, there's a silent voice that comes from the background. If God really cares, how come all this? If God really loves you, how come all this? He wants to take your faith from that personal love and concern that God has for you. And the moment that is out of the way, the moment you are no longer confident that God actually does love you and care for you, you begin to float. And like we saw in the book of James chapter 1 verse 6, it says that when somebody begins to waver, he becomes subject to be tossed by the winds of life. Look at John chapter 16 verse 27. John chapter 16 verse 27. It says, for the Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me and have believed that I came from God. The Father himself loveth you. Another way of putting that scripture is, the Father personally loves you. You need to allow that to sink in. The Father, God Almighty, personally loves me. That's what he's telling you there. The Father himself loveth you. The Father himself loveth you. Inasmuch as you have believed in me and believed that I came from him, that's to say, once you are born again. The Father himself loveth you. And where there is love, there is care. He can't love you without caring for you. Look at Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. It says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus says that God has personal care even for the birds of the air, because he's a mighty and wonderful creator. And he says that if God can go as far as taking care for the birds of the air, that you should know that he cares for you. Why? Because in his sight, you are of more value than many sparrows. Another translation says, than a flock of sparrows. You are of more value than many. So which means he cares for you. And he says that all the hairs on your head are numbered. Hallelujah. He says what? That the hairs of your head are all numbered. Please pay attention to that word, all. It didn't say that the hairs of your head are all counted. Don't worry if the hairs are no longer there. He still knows where the... Hallelujah. You still see the hidden stumps there. He can't stop them. Now, he didn't count them, but he numbers them. Because if he just wanted to count them, he would say, oh, this one has 5,000 strands of hair. That one has 3,400 strands of hair. But that is not what the Bible says he did. He said he numbered them. Which means every strand of your head has a number. God knows number 256. number 387, number 1005. He has numbered every one of them. That tells you the extent of his care. So you need to always have faith in the fact that God loves you, has a personal love for you, and a personal care for you. Beloved, that's so important, because when we are being bombarded by all sorts, the adversary wants you to lose faith in that personal love that God has for you, in that personal care that God has for you. Quite often, it's as though you are in the battle all by yourself. You need to realize that God's word says that he loves you personally. And like I said, where there is love, what? There is care. Number two, you need to protect your faith in God's audience and answer to your prayers. That's another area the enemy would like to infiltrate. That is another area he would like to invade your faith. Your faith in the fact that when you are praying, God does listen. He pays attention to you. He gives you his attention when you are speaking to him in prayer. You need to have faith in his audience to your prayer, and the fact also that he answers you when you pray according to his will. That is so vital. Why is that important? That's important because the moment that faith diminishes, the moment the enemy succeeds in wearing out that faith, your prayer life will go down. What makes prayer exciting is the confidence and the assurance that God is listening and that he will answer. The moment the enemy succeeds in wearing out your faith, where prayer is concerned, your prayer life will be deflated. You will begin to struggle. You begin to struggle to pray. Yeah. And he wants to do that, because he understands that prayer is your major supply line. And if you can sabotage your prayer life, many times when you're in trouble, you will be there on your own. Because prayer is what helps you to connect with God, to release his help in the time of need. Is somebody hearing me? If you watch some of these war films, you will see the strategies they often use. One of the major strategies they use is to see if they can cut the supply line of their adversary. They often want to see if they can cut the supply line. Because once they cut your supply line, it doesn't matter how brave you are as a soldier. When hunger deals with you for 3 days, I mean, it is not the enemy that will kill you. You don't even need to be shot anymore. You'll be worn out. That is why they take time to blow up bridges, so that the line of supply can be broken. That is why sometimes they mount up a solid blockage in the waters, so the ship cannot come to supply. That was what informed naval forces, forces that fight in waters, so that the ship can get to where it is going. Breaking the supply line is often a very important strategy that is employed in warfare. And if the adversary can diminish, weaken, and sabotage your faith where prayer is concerned, it's tampering with your supply line. You'll go through situations, and instead of praying, you'll do every other thing but pray. It's beating your hands down. Your thinking is, I prayed before, nothing happened. I fasted before, I didn't see results. Somebody is working some very wicked device, and that person is the adversary. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are what? Are open to their prayers. His eyes are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Or somebody will say, okay, in that case, that means that he sees me and he knows what I'm going through. I don't need to pray. You need to pray because he says you need to pray for him to answer. It's not a case of, well, God knows what I'm going through. If you want to help me, you can help me. If you switch on to that tone, you are walking in ignorance. The enemy will finish you. God says, pray so that I can answer. His eyes are over you, but that's not enough. He knows where you are, that's true, but that's not enough. His ears are open to your prayers. Because if you don't invite him, he is prepared to respect your free will, not to have him intervene. The more you interact with human beings, the more you begin to understand the complexities of the human nature. The more you appreciate the wisdom of God's word in every aspect. Sometimes you see somebody in trouble and you want to just jump in and help. You may end up being the bad person. Why? Because you didn't wait for the person to ask for the help. We say to you, did I ask you to help me? That is why when you are solving people's problem, you need to apply wisdom and make sure that they want that solution. Make the offer. Do you want the solution? To what extent do you want the solution? Meanwhile, you know what to do, but be careful. Because even as I speak to you right now, I was told recently of a pastor here in London that was locked up for 3 years. They put him behind bar for 3 years. What was his offense? He was trying to conduct deliverance and poured an anointing oil on a young girl of 16 years old. Meanwhile, the secretary was there. But maybe the oil went into her bra and everything. They said he was trying to molest her. How can he try to molest her when somebody else is there? If you want to molest somebody, do you do it in front of somebody else? Is that hard to molest? It's not that he told the girl to come and then told the secretary, go and buy something for me. No, the secretary was there. You know what they did? They locked him up and they locked up the secretary too. Here in London. So there are complexities with the human nature. You need to be careful. I mean, that girl obviously had a problem. And he was trying to deliver her. They wouldn't listen to anything. Because the moment they mentioned this thing, sex, they think everybody is crazy about it. Put the man of God behind bar for 3 years to destroy his life and ministry. Why? He was trying to help somebody out of their problem. You got to be careful. There are people out there behind the pulpit who take advantage of people. I understand that. But in some situations, it is obvious that the person you put behind bars is not actually guilty. You hate God, you hate what he stands for, and it is just an opportunity for the enemy to strike. And he always uses our lapses. What's leading me toward this? I'm saying that God is very wise. He waits for you to ask for help. He waits for you to ask for help. So that when he steps in, he is responding to your desire to be helped. He's a wise God. So you need to maintain your faith in God's audience and answer to your prayers. Look at Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hallelujah. Call unto me and what? And I will answer you. There's an assurance. In fact, if you read the scripture, the whole Bible, you see there are so many invitations asking you to come and pray. Come and pray. Come and call. Call to God. Pray. Call upon him. Jesus actually went as far as telling us in Luke chapter 18 verse 1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 7-10, he says, pray without ceasing. So you need to maintain that confidence that when I pray, my God hears me. Don't let the devil steal that from you. I'm a child of God. He has a personal love and a personal care for me. When I pray, he hears me. When I pray, he answers me. God answers my prayer. It's not only the pastor's prayer that he answers. God answers my prayer. I'm a child of God. When I pray, God hears me. He pays attention to me and he hears me and he answers my prayer. You need to protect that because the enemy wants to take that from you. Protect it. I'm talking about protecting your faith. That's the most important thing you have, your faith. Number three, another area you need to watch out for is faith in God as your provider. Faith in God as the one who provides for you. You need to have faith in the fact that God provides for you and He cares about your needs and your wants. It's important. That is another area the enemy wants to mess with your faith. Because if he can weaken your faith there, hello? If he can weaken your faith there and bring you to a point where you don't have faith in God as far as the supplies of your life are concerned, if he can bring you there, you know what happens? The business of getting your needs met will rest on your shoulders. That is why now it's like you are now the one responsible for getting your needs met. And do you know there are many believers in that trap? So you begin to carry that burden. It's you now, you are the breadwinner, you are the supplier, you are everything. Without you, nobody is going to survive because you are the one that provides. You put yourself in that situation, the enemy just laughs at you. And it will wear you out in several ways. And that is why you find that before you know what is happening, you begin to put yourself first before God. Because I know this thing they are saying that God supplies. Yeah, I know, but I need to be careful. The one that I provide is the one they say God provided, so I need to be careful. You don't say it like that, but that actually is what it is. Now, in this area, in fact, almost in every area of our lives, there's always a role, or there are always roles that God expects us to play. Because in our relationship with God, God does not want to carry us on His shoulder. But rather, He wants us to walk with Him. Like He said to Abraham, walk with me. So God's relationship with us is that of walking, like father and child, walking together. That is God's vision. He is not really looking at a situation where you can't put your feet on the ground, you can't do anything, you don't know how to handle anything, you carry on your shoulder. No. Maybe when you fall into a difficult situation and he needs to just lift you up, he can do that. But soon after, he's going to put you down and say, come on, let's keep walking. It's a call to a walk. That is why the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. We are to walk with him. That is to say, there are things he will expect you to do. He will show you what to do. He will tell you what to do. He will want you to play some roles. But that does not mean that he does not take responsibility for providing for you. Even if you need to work 9 to 5 every day, you still need to understand that the primary responsibility of providing for you is his own. Even if you can take a look at your life and say, well, everything that I enjoy comes out of my salary, that does not mean that it is the labor of your hands that are providing for you. God is using that to meet your need. That is the understanding you need to carry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Aha. Because the devil knows how to mess people up in that area. When they now have so much confidence in their jobs, the next thing he looks at us, if I can touch this job, they are finished. If I can touch this business, they are finished. And truly, there are many people that when he does that, some commit suicide. Because their source of livelihood is gone. But when God is your source of livelihood, hallelujah. When God truly, when you really have faith in the God that provides, you see your job as a tool in the hands of God. You see your profession as an instrument in the hands of God. Of course, you should be diligent. Of course, you should strive hard to be the best in your field. But you still understand that even this profession, this career, this job that I do every day, it is God who is using it to provide for me. If he chooses to change it, he can change it. That's important because that is where the adversary has dug holes into the faith of some believers. God never asked you to take over the responsibility of providing for yourself. He does want you to play a role. He does want you to be diligent in business. He does want you to be diligent in whatever work it is that you are doing. But you must understand that you are working with him. He never asked you to take over. Hello? Aha! Very, very important. Very, very important. Especially in this country, there are a number of believers today who have been sucked into their work. That's why they cannot dare to go to church. They cannot dare to go to Bible study. Because you see, I need to survive. I need to survive. And the next thing you know, someone else is their master. Jesus says you can't serve two masters at once. The only thing is that they are blinded to that reality. They don't see it. They may have all their needs met. But you need to understand, that this is not where we are going. Hello? This is not where we are going. We are going somewhere. And that where we are going is more important. Look at these scriptures. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. I will leave that for you to read. Matthew 6, 25 to 33. That is where it talks about God's readiness to provide. How that he provides for the birds of the air. How that he even takes care of the grass of the field. As if he can take care of the grass of the field, what of you? Of course, it's not telling you to be idle and fold your hands and say, well, God can provide for the grass, he can provide for me. No, he asks you to do some work. You need to be diligent. But you must understand that he's the one working through whatever you are doing to meet your need. Boy, that is so important. But it is very easy to miss until you come to a situation, which I pray you will never come to, where you find yourself so qualified, so able, and not able to land the kind of job you want. Then you realize that there's something else that works behind the scene. For it is not of him that will it, neither is it of him that runneth, but of God that what? That shows mercy. The battle is not to the strong. The race is not to the swift. Bread is not to the wise, nor favor to men of skill. There's the mystery of time and chance behind the scene. Hallelujah. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall what? Shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And like I've told us, there are always things God expects us to do because it's a relationship of walking together. There's a way you walk with God where he takes on the obligation of supplying all your needs. There are things to do. We won't go into that today. There are things to do where provision is concerned to trigger the release of heaven's supply. There are things to do. But you need to understand that when God sent you into this world, he has the agenda to cater for you. Did somebody hear that? Look at Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4. It says, and even to your old age I am he, and even to your hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry, and will deliver you. Hallelujah. You seen that? Even to your old age I am what? I am he. Even to your gray hairs or your hoar hairs, will I carry you? I have made you. I will bear you. Even I will carry you and will deliver you. God gives himself the full responsibility of your life. But if you take it from him, he will allow you. And that's what we must not allow the adversary to do. Because the adversary wants you to take over so that he can put pressure on you. So he can mess you up. So he can bombard you with all sorts of needs, and it's as though, what am I doing on earth? Hallelujah. Okay, let's round it up for today. You need to have faith in God's processes, God's methods, and God's timings. That's the next one. You need to have faith in God's processes, his methods, and his timings. Boy, this one is a tricky one, but it's so vital. Because God has his own ways of doing his own things. He has his modus operandi. He has his timings. He has his processes. The difficulty that a lot of us encounter many times when it comes to trusting God is that God doesn't do things the way we want him to do them. Neither does he do them at the time that we want him to do them. And if you read the scripture, you find that God is not even hiding that. It tells us very plainly. Look at Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." He says, "I have my ways and I have my thoughts." He said, "They are different from yours." He tells us very clearly there. So he doesn't always do it the way we want him to do it, but that does not mean he has not got his own way of doing them. Now, faith is required to trust that he will deliver even when he's not doing it the way I want him to do it, and even when he's not doing it when I want him to do it. I now need to trust him. You now need to trust him. That is often where the adversary gets us very cheaply. You finish praying, you expected God to just move now, but he's not moving now. The enemy say, "Huh? You said God answers your prayer. Where's the answer?" But the one we are dealing with is so great and so mighty, like I told us, I think that was last week, that he has many resources at his disposal when he wants to answer. He can employ speed. He can employ lateness. He can use the weak. He can use the strong. Did somebody remember that? But he will get his job done much better than you are even expecting. A lot of times we pray, but before the answer arrives, we have given up. Because we are not seeing the signs we expect to see. It's not going the way we want him to do it. And only heaven will reveal how many answers to prayers were frustrated by that means. His ways are different. His thoughts are different. But like a man of God said, he said, God never said we couldn't walk in his ways, but we need to learn his ways. That's why we have the Bible. We need to understand and learn his ways. If we do that, we will understand to a great extent how he functions. But there will still be those aspects that we cannot understand. Let's leave that to him. Hallelujah. The bottom line is to know that we are dealing with a good God who is reliable and faithful. So when God brings in his processes and he's using his method and his methodologies and he's not doing it the way we want, it does not mean that he's not faithful. He knows how to deliver under such circumstances. What you and I should watch out for is that we do not allow our faith to weaken out when he's working on our behalf. Hallelujah. There's a program on television which I started watching of recent. It's Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmare. How many of you watch it? Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmare. Talking about Gordon Ramsay, where he will go to failing restaurants and then he will move in to help to revive them. That man is brutally honest. And when he comes, he will want to taste their food for a start. And most of the time, their foods are rubbish. But you know the most difficult thing that he faces? The oppositions of the owners of the restaurant who insist that their food is very good. Customers like their food the way they cook it. He said, "You mean your customer?" "Yes, our customer." "Okay, if your customer likes your food so much, how come your restaurant is empty? Why are you asking for help? If your food is so good." Now, this somebody, a world-class restaurateur and chef, he's telling you what is missing. But most of the time, the most difficult thing that he faces is the opposition from the owners. And then from the chef, the people that cook the food. We know what to do. And sometimes they will really fight him. That was made the program quite interesting. But eventually when they give me a free hand, changes the menu, changes the processes they are using there. Sometimes he changes the positions of staff. gets them to tidy up the kitchen, and then he brings his own method in, and then the people that were fighting him turn around and begin to praise him because they see the tremendous change. The man you were fighting was right after all. And I learned from things like that. Because sometimes when you are trying to help people, they resist. I like it this way. It's killing you. Yes, that's not really where the problem is. Where then is the problem? You see, that is often the problem God has when he wants to do things in our lives. We have our own ways we want it. This is the way we want it. And God said, that's not the way I want to use it. No. And yet we are asking him to come. And when he wants to move, we don't want it to move that way because we have calculated it. You stay in your problem that way. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, the first part. He says, he had made everything beautiful in his time. What? He has made everything beautiful in his time. He knows the time to move in. And then look at Isaiah chapter 28, verse 29. It says, this also coming from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. The God you are serving is wonderful in counsel. He knows how to do things. And what? He is excellent in working. You don't have any problem with him. Let him work it out. Hallelujah.
Dear friends, thank you for listening. We believe you've been richly blessed by the message you've just heard. To order a full copy of this message on CD, simply go to our online store at www.lwrn.org.uk to place your order. You can also go to the download section of our online store to get the message in MP3 format. Orders can also be sent in by email. Please address your email orders to messages@lwrn.org.uk. Till we come your way again next time, stay blessed and keep marching on in victory from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen.